This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where my shout out to start things is that Joey did not turn on Mike's microphone 2 to 3 seconds before he actually did.
That could have been bad.
I didn't say any bad words.
You did not.
You didn't say a single bad word.
I called the body parts by their body part.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, you did.
And that's why we appreciate you, Mike.
It is a shout out Friday all day long. We got Jerry Jones coming up at 10:30 plus in the noon o'clock hour. We will give away tickets to the Royal Rumble. But I want to start with this. If you like Cooper Rush better, why do you like Cooper Rush better than Dak? I feel like...
because he's not Dak.
Okay. I actually think that's going to be the number one answer, is people with some combination of he's not Dak, or he doesn't make $40 million, or we're winning. Like, some semblance of that. And you can, like, you know, everyone's mileage on quarterback win stat is going to vary. But there are a lot of people... for everybody who shouts out that there's no quarterback controversy, and Jerry has said that, and there's not among the people who make the decision, but among the fans, holy cow, have we heard from person on top of person on top of person who thinks Cooper Rush should continue to start. I'm not trying to say that's the way it should be. I just want to know more about the people who feel that way. Why do you want Cooper Rush over Dak? And you think it's just going to Dak fatigue?
Yeah. And I mean, it's, I think the first person I ever heard say this was Nui Scruggs. So I will credit Nui.
Yeah.
But he may have gotten it from somebody else. And Mike, you've heard this a million times too. The most famous person in every city is the backup quarterback. Because there's an unknown.
Or is it the most beloved?
The most beloved. That's sure. They'll take that. Because there's an unknown. You know, I don't know what he can and cannot
right.
do. Well, you have no clue what this dude bounces back from a loss with.
Right.
Or if he goes on a losing streak.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of, like, all we know is he wins, you know? That's yeah. all we know about this guy.
Do you
so
think
there's
just
nothing
take
else.
One loss for people to turn? And then one loss, they're like,
And maybe that's another interesting question to discuss with Jerry is, like, are you kind of just waiting for this to have that moment? Like, how many, like, do you just keep going here? Because I understand the concept of he has to play when he's, Dak can't play until he's ready. He can't play until he can grip the football, and then, as Mike was pointing out, and throw the football well, like he typically does.
Yeah.
I understand that part of it, but there's also got to be this, like, I believe in what you're saying. You can buy yourself a little time. You don't
sure.
have to rush the process. Like, if there was, oh, you know what? He could be back in this window. Well, you can say, let's take the whole window instead
yeah.
of saying, we're losing games. We need to hurry and rush him in. So I think there's something to that as well, but they all deny that. And they're like, well, I mean, it's just the medical stuff. As long as you're winning, it absolutely isn't just the medical stuff.
We are getting answers.
I'm glad you are.
And I, Rush from the 972, Rush plays fearless and instinctive. Dak plays timid and cautious. I mean, there are times, and that's the other thing. This is another thing that I firmly believe is there's just so much more film on Dak, so it's so much easier to be like, here are the plays I don't like. I have no doubt there are many a play of him playing timid, but I don't
Kellen
think
Moore,
of him
Kellen
as
Moore
a timid
said that,
player.
Not, he didn't say that against Dak, but he did say that Rush is dropping back, getting set and trusting what he sees.
Sure.
And then ripping it. You know, there's something to confidence whenever it comes to a quarterback. If he has that confidence that it's there. Now, you see the Zach Wilsons and those other guys where their eyes deceived them and they stopped trusting it. And I don't know if that is a place that Dak was in against Tampa Bay because they were doing some things that he didn't see.
Yeah, nobody did anything good in Tampa Bay, it felt like, except for maybe Micah. Now, this one, I think I do kind of agree with from the 2-1-4. He gets rid of the ball, and now people think the offensive line is good, plus he targets the number one wide receiver. I mean, we did talk about that yesterday, what a bump up that CeeDee Lamb has seen in targets, and it's a smaller sample size. I might be more inclined to agree with that, but the thing that I see from the 2-1-4 and the 4-6-9, Cooper Rush is more accurate than Dak. That is just not bared out in the numbers, and I will say, to be fair, I do not always believe that numbers tell the entire story. I know RJ will be like, you're a fool. You just got deceived by what you saw. The numbers tell you the truth. I don't always think that's 100% right, but Cooper Rush this year, 60.8% completion percentage. Dak over his career, 66.4. So Dak is like discernibly more accurate in terms of completions. But I wonder if people are like, I'm not saying accuracy in terms of completions, but accuracy in terms of you put the ball in the maximum spot for a completion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'm with you. And I'll go back to one of the points you made a minute ago is I do think Cooper Rush has done a better job of getting rid of the football than Dak. Yeah. I think a lot of times, and I know we have on Mickey a lot, and I think Mickey will fall into, if it's a sack, most likely, I would say most of the time he blames the offensive line.
Which we do not necessarily feel is the case.
And there's times where I'm like, I think the offensive line gave him, let's just say, 4 seconds or 3.5 seconds. I know you'd like 6 seconds, but we didn't do that. We only blocked for 3.5 or 4. That's plenty of time to get rid of the football. When you hold on to it, hey, maybe nobody was open. Well, hey, guess what? Nobody's open. Throw the ball away. Don't take a sack. Don't extend a play. But to Dak Prescott, most of his life until recently because of the injury to his ankle, he's been able to hold on to the football and then extend a play and make a big play out of the extension of a play. Cooper Rush, I think, knows athletically, I can't do that. I can't hold on to the football, break a tackle, scramble to the right for 3 seconds, tell people to get open and make a play, or then run for another 10 yards and make a play. Dak Prescott, from probably age 10 to age whatever he is now, 27, could do that. Now, once the injury has happened, he's not as good at breaking tackles. He's not as good at running out of situations. So I think Dak should learn from his injury and go, I have to be more like Cooper Rush in those after 3 to possibly 4 seconds. I have to release the football.
I don't know.
Trust the scheme, right? Like, just trust that they drew the play up right.
Sure. And I don't know if this will bother you or not, but Dak is actually 29.
Right. So when I said 27.
Before the injury. Okay, I got you.
So he could extend plays going, man, I've had so much success in they can't bring me down. I got freaking, you know, trunks for legs.
Yeah.
But once the injury has happened, we haven't seen the same person be able to either break tackles or then escape and go a long way.
29. Wow. He has fallen down the quarterback power rankings.
No. That's his age. I mean,
where do you think he's power rankings right now?
Well, he has to be at least 30 above Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson. Like, I'll take Dak today this very second above that garbage that we saw last year from the 4-6-9. And people are kind of feeding into these two narratives, cautiousness and accuracy. From the 4-6-9, Dak cannot or will not throw into tight one versus one coverage. And so I think that's the thing. It's not accuracy in terms of your completion percentage. It's accuracy in terms of putting the ball exactly where it needs to be in a one-on-one coverage or to lead the receiver to where you want them to go. Because those are things that you don't always see quantified as much, especially in the older style statistics.
From the 2-1-4, Dak wants to play hero ball.
Which is interesting because somebody was like, he's too timid. And so those things would work against each other.
Like, Jameis is the perfect example of, I want to make a big play on every play. And that does hurt you. I mean, Tua gets hurt with it. Wilson gets hurt with it. So that does happen for sure.
And this is what a lot of people have said from the 817. I also see it from the 903. It's not because Cooper is better. It's because he can get us, they think, the same results and doesn't cost $40 million. And I wonder how many people are you brought up in the crosstalk. I don't think anyone in the universe thinks Dak is 40 times better than Cooper Rush. Right. Like, whatever amount you think Dak is better than Cooper Rush was, 2, 3, 4, whatever the amount is, it's disproportionate to the amount of money that you actually pay Cooper Rush. So I think at the end of the day, that's what it is for a lot of people. And we predicted this, Corey. Mm-hmm. Just like people were harsher on Tony Romo when he got paid, guess what? People are harsher on Dak when he gets paid. That is just the way sports go. You don't have to like it. I'm just telling you, when people get paid, there is a different level of responsibility that some fans put on that individual player.
And Dak's a big boy.
He can handle it, I'm sure. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Cowboys season has been a success thus far, but who has been the biggest disappointment this season? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, it is a shout-out Friday. I know I might have forgot about that in the first segment, but we will do the shout-outs all day long. However, my question for y'all here is, the Cowboys season, it's been a success. But if you were to zero in on a non-Dak disappointment, who do you think has been the most disappointing for the team thus far this year?
Well, I mean, Diggs only has, what, 2 interceptions at this point? So
he leads the league in pass breakup.
Is he still on pace for 11?
No, he's on pace for 8.5.
8, that's it?
Yep, that's it.
What a bomb.
He's also on pace to lead the league in pass breakups.
I would say the only like real disappointment I have right now is probably Anthony Brown.
Oh, wow. Considering he's one of 5 I have.
The pedestal that we had him set. Like, he looked like in camp, man. And hey, this is why you can, Mike says it every time, you can't trust camp, all right? You can't, no camps, no basketball camps. That's why you shouldn't even watch NBA preseason. You can't trust that.
Tonight. Mavs Orlando.
But at camp, Anthony Brown looked like he was going to be the next Diggs.
Yeah.
You know, like he had this. And this year, he gets picked on more than Diggs because Diggs is a better cornerback. I just thought that he took the next level up. So he's still playing better than I think a lot of people give him credit for.
Okay.
But he has been a little disappointing considering I thought he would lead the league, like Broadus said, in interceptions.
Okay.
Or the team, at least.
Anthony Brown was one of them. I was reading this article from Bleacher Report, and they said Jalen Tolbert. But I think your argument is more logical in terms of expectations. Mm-hmm. Although there were some people with some high expectations for Tolbert.
I did too. I had high expectations for him.
And I go back to something that we talked about with Jerry or Steven a couple weeks ago. This is probably cheating. The combination of Kelvin Joseph and Nashawn Wright is, we're talking about a second and third round pick who people are like, man, they're coming up huge on special teams, especially for Joseph. And I'm like, rock on, that's cool. But like, that is not what you make your second and third round picks for. And so you look at last year's picks, and then Tolbert this year is, you have picks that are, they're struggling to get on the field in the regular run of football.
I'll tell you what though, I'd like that Sammy Williams.
Yes. Okay. So that would
be a very good player for the Cowboys. Not this year. He's going to contribute.
But eventually.
But yeah. I think he's going to become a starter when they kind of look at their finances and go, we can't afford these other defensive ends.
Do you view Tyron Smith, somebody texted in, as a disappointment because he got hurt so early? And I know he'll be back for the meat of the schedule. Like, I hear you on that. But, yeah, you know.
One person thinks that.
Yes.
Every other human being who's dealt with injuries, who's a professional called doctors, think that it's more of a 3-month injury.
I am concerned about when and if he shall return. But is Tyron Smith considered a disappointment?
Yeah. That, yes. There's a lot of things I want to go to here. But Tyler Smith has turned out to be fantastic.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel great at left tackle. How awesome would it have been if my left tackle was still Tyron and I had Tyler playing this level of guard right next to him? How good would that offensive line maybe be? Wow, that could be cool. But they've done a serviceable job of filling the role at left guard with what they have. And so, yes, Tyron, the individual, it's disappointing that he's not out there, because the way Tyler Smith's playing, you could really have a good solid offensive line based on those two on the left side.
From the 901, I still get this. CeeDee Lamb has still been a disappointment. From the 940, 972, multiple people backing up your Anthony Brown. This is another from the 972. Sometimes I forget that this person is on the roster, so take that for what you will. Jabril Cox.
Yeah, that was going to be a disappointment. That was going to be another one, because I really thought, like, now coming off injury, you know, what can you expect a guy that rehabbed and came off injury, and, you know, what I was probably expecting him to have a season where he kind of still ramped back up, and then next year would be the better season for him. But, man, I don't even see in this dude. And so, like, and I'm not even super in love with the way Anthony Barr is playing, but
that's fair.
As you can discuss with multiple different people, the ability to bring Curse or Donovan Wilson in as a linebacker safety and also still have your coverages set up and squared away is a huge benefit to this team.
Can I ask you guys if you think this disappointment is actually a good thing? Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz has been a disappointment thus far, for sure. My contention to y'all is that's a good thing, is because the more we get Fergashot going, is the more likely I think the Cowboys are to be like, hey, we have salary cap problems already. Maybe we should just let Dalton Schultz walk, because there's folks out there who are, the thought is he'll get 4 for 52 or something along those lines. I mean, if you've got two rookies that, I'm not saying they're immediately as good as Dalton Schultz whatsoever, but if they work in the scheme that you're running and you pay them very little, maybe that's not the worst.
You think he's going to continue to play poorly whenever Dak comes back? Because I don't.
I don't either.
Because I think Dak is like, that's my guy. You know, I'm going to, if the play breaks down, I'm finding that guy, and he's going to do that 5 times a game.
And I'm seriously asking, is Dak to the point where he can go in with Jerry and say, that's my guy, I would like him back? Or I need him.
I think
back.
He is, but I also, like, that would be another factor. If he's just feeding him, Mike, is that a guy that's helping this guy get his contract?
Do you think Jerry and Dak talk much?
Actually, I kind of do, because I wonder if Dak has a direct line to Jerry and can skip McCarthy or whoever else you think he should talk to just say, hey, I need X, Y, and Z, or we need X, Y, and Z. I kind of do believe that.
Ask Jerry coming up.
Okay.
Hey, how many times per day? How much do you talk to Dak?
Okay. That's a great question. Absolutely.
Dak's been a disappointment this year.
Sure. And
what? Micah, somebody said that he's missed a couple sacks the last.
They said Micah's been a disappointment.
Yeah, so they're kind of disappointed. They said still the best player on the team, but it's disappointing that he missed those sacks.
Man. How awesome would that be if people were like, I'm kind of disappointed with this season, and he won defensive player of the year? That'd be super neat. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with the Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager. It is Jerry Jones, and it is next right here on 105 through the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you. It is the owner and general manager of your Dallas Cowboys. It is Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. Kevin, Corey, Mike. Man, what a day.
Yes, sir.
What a day.
Here we go. Los Angeles, here we come.
All right. So, and I want to ask you, we've won 3 in a row. The Cowboys have won 3 in a row. I have nothing to do with it. Do you have a good luck routine that you need to make sure keeps rolling going into SoFi?
Well, first of all, you're part of the routine, getting to have this show with you every Friday. But secondly, you have a lot to do with it. You're a great conduit for me to visit with the fans that do listen to you, the one or two.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But candidly, you're a big part of this thing. I've always thought we share something in common. We both chose to spend our life in sport, in different ways, but sport. And that was a big decision for me, and I'm glad you made it too. But seriously, you've got a lot to do with it.
Now, you've made it clear, and I think we all understand, there is certainly no quarterback controversy or anything of the like. What I was curious about, though, is there anything that Cooper Rush does that you think might be better than what Dak does, or you would like to see Dak integrate into his game when he comes back?
Well, I think that I would look at the overall thing, and I think Cooper's perception and how we use him speaks to a more dependence on the running game. I think when you got a player like Dak, boy, you can step on out there and do some inordinate things that you hope you can, and you can. But Romo had that same thing. And so this gets you back down into depending on the scheme, depending on kind of a everybody doing their job, but having to do it a little better. And I can't emphasize that enough. If you look at life or look at your body or look at any other thing, it's really built on a premise that if something's short, something else will go long and make up for it. And that's the way bodies work. And I think that's what you're seeing, and I think that's what you're seeing with him at quarterback. Everybody else just stepping up and playing at a higher level. Now, does that mean they're not going to play at this high or higher with Dak? Well, that's when you hear us talk about what a leader Dak is. And he does inspire men to go beyond what they thought they could go. And that's a part of his plus.
Jerry, I'm wondering, how much do you talk to Dak Prescott? And then has that changed over the years with talking to the team or / talking to the quarterback in your tenure of 30-plus years of being the owner general manager?
I really can't answer that. I really can't. I just can't answer it because I don't have a feel for it. I communicate when the situation calls for it, and it's not a structured thing. It's not a planned thing that I'm going to have this many meetings. I'm going to be sure and touch base with this player three times during a period of time. That's not the way it works. But the human beings that we are have enough impromptu situations that with me where I am, at the decision maker on the team personnel, as well as from the standpoint of being able to do some things when somebody's got a need. And I'm not just talking about a player, but we all have needs, our family, we all have things that come up. And if you're human, and I've had more help than anybody, a helping hand or an interested, a sensitive hand can make a difference. That's the way I communicate.
Jerry, with this team playing so well with Cooper so far, what do you think the thing is that you've learned about this team that maybe you didn't know before this season started?
Well, I couldn't have known what I believed to be right before our eyes, such a chemistry and such a everybody pitching in and having a, if you will, a major challenge right off the bat. We in our first ball game, at the end of our first ball game, and you don't want to. I guess you want to find it out, but you don't want to have the situation that causes you to have to find it out, and that is an adjustment, a major adjustment that could be a real negative and turns into a positive. Actually, Dak was a part of that his rookie year. And a real setback for us turned into a positive. in a lot of ways. This has got a little marks of that. The setback could turn out to be the gathering of the troops and the strength that goes with it. Again, I've come to mind, Mike, that's when the feature really can be on the leadership that the head coach is. And I don't want to say head coach. I want to say Mike, because it's Mike. It's his skills. It's his way. It's his personality. It's his having his butt kicked, and everybody knows it from time to time, and then him coming back and the steady hand. All of that goes with the type of thing that he can bring to the table, and he's bringing it.
Does that mean at this point in the season that despite the adversity, do you feel better about this team than maybe you did at the beginning of the season?
Well, that's you could say that. You really could say that. The thing is that I didn't know some things about this team that I know now. But I sure don't know it all because no one can or does. But I've seen us handle adversity that I didn't know how we would handle. I hoped we would handle adversity. I really didn't know we'd have this kind of adversity. Mm. That's a rough blow to lose Dak right off the bat. And so I didn't know if we could overcome that in the way we have. You see that, and it's a credit to the fortitude and the will here that's involved in this team. Now, we're doing a lot of talking about this, and, of course, we got one coming up here this week against the world champs, and it's out there in alien territory. Although I will tell you this, you can't imagine the Cowboy fans that are out there. There's a bunch of them. Being out in California for our training camp helps that. But we've just got a ton of Los Angeles Cowboy fans, and they were there when we opened it up, opened that beautiful new stadium, and I hope we'll have a nice helping of them out there Sunday.
Are you surprised at all then, since this game almost feels at times like a neutral site game, even though it is in SoFi, y'all have a better record than the Rams. Are you surprised? Because Coach McCarthy was surprised yesterday that y'all are 5.5-point underdogs. Do you think that the Cowboys are getting the respect they deserve?
Oh, I understand. That's against the world champs. Mm. And you've got to hang, you've got to have something to do. And so setting it up as to the way people are feeling about it, which would be underdog or the favorite, those kind of things. I get all of that. That's important. That, by the way, is very important to interest in the games. Very important. And I just absolutely love Mike's response when he said, we ain't nobody's underdog. I guess to paraphrase him a little bit, but I love that response, and there you go. That was impromptu, too, and that was real.
Jerry, on Tuesday, you spoke with Sean and RJ, said, hey, let's see how Dak progresses. We haven't had practice yet. Now that you've had practice this week, how much progress has Dak made, and maybe are you feeling more optimistic about him playing against Philadelphia?
Okay, you were going good on your question to the one about can he play against Philadelphia.
Okay.
That's too succinct, but he is improving, and he is gripping it stronger, and he is doing some of the things. Is he able to grip and throw in a way that you'd want him to play in a ball game? No. But is he making a lot of improvement, which is a key in a rehab situation? Yes. I don't know when he will be back out there, but I will tell you he is improving.
Jerry, the running game, but the monster you have with Pollard and Zeke, are you getting the production that you want out of it, or do you think there's a lot more that they can get out of that thing?
Well, you know, Washington, when we talk about the running game, the strength of their team is is right in the eye of the storm relative to the running game, and that's their defensive line. They're a very, very, very formidable defensive line, which would thwart the run game if set up to do it. And they had a good game plan, and they really knew how we were going to have to beat them, and they knew we were going to have to get some run established, and knew what what we can and maybe would be doing relative to the run. And let's give Washington Redskins some credit for a little bit of an anemic run game out here past Sunday. That doesn't mean that you stop running it, and we didn't. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't, when they set it up like that, doesn't give you some openings to throw the ball, and it did. I don't want to be cavalier and say I'm not concerned about the running game, but I am going to be realistic and say Washington had a lot to do with that anemic running game.
On the flip side, are you concerned at all about the ability to stop the run? Because this defense has been phenomenal, and if there is one ding in it thus far, it has been some trouble stopping the run.
Well, because most teams know the value of establishing the run, then being sensitive about being able to stop the run, concerned, if you will, whatever, is natural. And I don't talk to anybody that's not concerned about stopping the running game or interested in establishing the running game. That's across the board. Getting it done, that's a different deal. And the answer is, I think we will, as we move along, have times when we have to adjust. But I think we're capable of still providing the pressure that we want to provide, if you will, having the kind of defense that can fly to the ball and get hopefully more takeaways and at the same time be steady in the middle in the run. Now, outside, the run game outside has been a little more of our Achilles heel off tackle, it would seem. And so, but I think we're capable of adjusting and having success there.
And, you know, obviously the Rams struggle to run the ball this year. They throw the ball to Cooper Kupp a whole bunch. How excited, nervous, I don't know the right word is, to see Cooper Kupp versus, let's say, Trayvon Diggs all day Sunday?
Well, I guess the word is excited. I'm just excited about getting to go out there and play the world champs. I'm glad this bunch is the world champs because we could have that substantive a victory if we can get a victory by beating the defending champions. And Cooper Kupp is outstanding. And he's when I see him, I just think of, boy, that's the NFL, only in the NFL. And there he comes in, and he's just got a combination of skill and smarts and the kinds of things that you think about a receiver being able to accomplish, work ethic, and it is rightfully so, has gotten the accolades and the success that he's had. He's a heck of a player.
Jerry, Matt Stafford spent a lot of time in Detroit and, you know, kind of suffered a little bit there, and then goes to L.A. and gets his Super Bowl and shows that he can be that guy. Did that give him that win give him a pretty clear path to the Hall of Fame in your eyes?
Yeah, well, I don't want to. I think he has the exceptional ability and probably will have the resume to have really been as accomplished or as good as he's been over his career, and then to have that Hall of Fame. Now, they'd be the first to tell you, and I might echo that, he may not be through having Super Bowls. And so I think he's very likely to be in the Hall of Fame.
Do you have a status update for us about Jordan Lewis? I know he had been kind of on the fence for this weekend's game.
My bet is that we'll see. Really, I think it does depend on these next couple of days with him. And I'm not going to make a bet on that.
And then I had one more defensive question. Micah was talking about, because, you know, obviously people are quick to make comparisons and talking about the doomsday defense, and he said, I hope we're making them proud. Do you think Micah in this defense would make those old doomsday defenses proud?
Yes, I do. And I've gotten to know personally the people that played on it over the years. And there's no doubt in mind the qualities that Micah has on and off the field and his penchant for wanting to maximize, wanting to just be the best. I think he's got all the makeup that those guys would acknowledge and smile about.
And Jerry, you're speaking of Micah there. You know, he has the suite out at the Rangers game. Him and a couple players, Dak, like Gallup, yeah, and Dak show up for the game where Aaron Judge hit the record-breaking home run. And I know that ball, Mike and Kevin were talking about, it was about a $2.5 million ball is what that record-breaking ball was. And I kept saying, I wanted to prove I'm the greatest fan of all time. If I caught it, I don't care about the money. I'm throwing it back, all right? I don't want that ball. I want to show I'm a great fan. Would Jerry Jones have thrown it back, or are you keeping that sucker?
Oh, I think I'd like him to have it, the player, at the end of the day. Now, if I didn't have any money. So it's all relative. let's be real a little bit here.
Jerry, we tell Corey to get real all the time, for sure. Yeah.
We try our best, Jerry.
Your personality, your charitability, that will change on you when you're broke.
Jerry, I was wondering, you saying you're a baseball fan last week, and obviously you grew up next to where SoFi Stadium is, and are you a Dodgers fan? Or were you? What team did you root for when you were a baseball fan?
Well, first of all, baseball was my love. And playing it was, I still love it. And I got to travel, played American Legion, played all the way up through. And so I love baseball and just followed meticulously all the players that played it. And I was in college when Maris and Mantle were playing together, and Maris broke the record. So, but I'm a great baseball fan. It obviously went football for me, but it wasn't because that's where my heart was or that's where I enjoyed playing. And I followed all the teams, followed all the players. I was really a player baseball fan more than a team baseball fan. But my part of the world, in Arkansas, you couldn't go down a street in a subdivision, or you couldn't go down the street in just a street, and people would be sitting on the porch, and they'd be sitting there in a chair and gathered around listening to the radio and listening to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was just like the sun going down. And it was just, you'd walk down your street in those afternoons, those spring afternoons and summers, and it was just almost a rite of passage, and you'd wave at everybody or see everybody over there, and everybody be sitting around, some of them having a beer, some of them just sitting there kind of having a social, and everybody just glued to that radio. Not television, radio.
Jerry, I hope you understand bringing up the St. Louis Cardinals is still a little painful here in the Metroplex, but I appreciate that answer.
Of course I do. Of course I do. Bringing up that, of course I do. But that's just the way it was. It was that way for a lot of the South. And as a matter of fact, when the extent of the sophistication of my purchase of the Cowboys was that the Cowboys were losing so much money, about $1 million a month to be exact, wow, the Cowboys were losing, that my idea was that the way to right that ship was to do something like the Cardinals had done in their association with Anheuser-Busch and Budweiser, and that surely that association that made Anheuser-Busch and Budweiser what they were. And I dropped it at that. That was enough for me to go and be involved with the Cowboys. I never dreamed that as time would follow, I knew I had to have something other than tickets and television to make it work. So they were in their own way a little role model for me as to maybe how to justify somehow getting the juice to flow through the veins of the Cowboys.
And that's fascinating business side right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Jerry, before we let you go, Zeke said that he didn't go to that game with Dak and Micah because he didn't want to make the drive from Frisco to Arlington. Is there a way, like, if he'd asked, can I get a ride in the chopper, would you have set that up for him? Or
I would. Yes, I would. Of course I would. That'd be fun. And that'd be a nice nice memory. I remember after the Super Bowl, our first Super Bowl in Los Angeles, I remember getting on the helicopter with Daryl Johnston. And Mark Sapnowski was on there with Daryl. And, boy, we lifted off from that Coliseum, and we lifted off, I mean, from the Rose Bowl, and we lifted off to go to our post-game party. And I'll never forget flying over all those lights in Los Angeles and Daryl and Mark sitting on that plane, and we were going about, we were several hundred feet above ground. And I thought, my God, right, going over Los Angeles, we have just drove a flag in the top of the world. It was just an unbelievable feeling to look down. And actually, when I looked down, we did fly. I could scan out and, I guess where it was, but the airport, and saw the house that I actually was living in, my parents were, when I was born there in Los Angeles.
Wow.
So when I think of a helicopter and think of being able to think, and I always think of that ride. Gene was on the helicopter with me, and we were going out across there, and that was probably an hour and a half after the game going to the victory party.
Well, hopefully when y'all fly out of Los Angeles again this time, it'll be with a four-game winning streak. Thank you very much for the time, good sir.
You bet, guys.
There you go. Jerry Jones, owner, general manager of your Dallas Cowboys. Among the many things he said in that interview, I feel like he was attacking Mike Bassett by very decisively saying McCarthy is Mike.
Yeah.
And he goes, Mike.
He went after you there, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
He listens.
Like I said, and I'll say it again. I was here before Mike McCarthy, and I will be here after Mike McCarthy. I am the Mike.
Kevin, where else can you get 23 uninterrupted minutes with Jerry Jones?
Tuesday morning and now, yeah, right here on The Fan. That's it.
I bet his kids get it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece. Take that, Corey.
Well, all right.
Coming up next.
We're like his kids. Thanks, Mike.
We will talk. Yeah, you know what? Because he scoreboards us every now and again. We are like his. We're like all parent-child relationship. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, besides Cowboys-Rams, which NFL game are you most looking forward to this weekend? All of it next, right here on The Fan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.